You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back into Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Brendan Kleen. I write about the Suns in the NBA at Forbes and Dime Magazine and SB Nation and all over the place. I hope you guys had a great holiday weekend. Hope you are ready now to start previewing the 2020-21 NBA season. As crazy as that sounds, training camp will be in full force by the end of this week. We do not have a lot of time to jump from off-season recap to season preview, but that's just the nature of things during this condensed year. And one of the things that I cannot help but just be curious about and kind of get stumbling, you know, I don't know what to make of is Chris Paul and what really should we expect this year, because we know he's the point guard, we know he's great, we know he's going to be immeasurably sort of valuable to this team if he's at his best, but what went so well for him to be at his best with the Thunder last year in an unexpected way? And so to talk about that, I wanted to bring on somebody who saw the Thunder season he put together up close, covered it, and to do that with me today is Olivia Punchal. She covers the Thunder as a senior writer for Daily Thunder, an awesome independent blog that I just think it's awesome that you guys have sustained and kept alive this long, and I really respect the work you guys do. So, Olivia, let's start with a pretty broad question here, which is, what worked? Why did it work for the Thunder and Chris Paul during the 2019-20 season so well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a season that even we weren't expecting. I know that for me personally, and for a lot of Thunder fans, when we found out that the Thunder had traded for Chris Paul, we were really not that excited about it. We thought that he had, you know, a really untradeable contract. I personally wasn't a huge fan of Chris Paul. I'd kind of known him to have a bad attitude, you know, to be a complainer to the refs. Definitely was not my favorite player. And then somehow here we are a year later. A year later because of this crazy long season. And I'm actually really sad that Chris Paul will not be on the Thunder next season because he had such an important role for the Thunder. As you all know, he had one of his best seasons with the Thunder, and that was really unexpected. And I think the thing that worked really well is that I think for the first time in Chris Paul's career, he was on a team with teammates who, you know, weren't necessarily his equals and were willing to learn from him and to absorb all of the knowledge that he has to give. He's one of the smartest basketball players I've ever encountered. He sees the game in a way that very few players do. He's been known to have one of the highest basketball IQs. And it spills over not just as a point guard to all the positions. And he can be a mentor really for anyone if they're willing to learn. So I think at Houston and with the Clippers, you know, he was with other players who were also all-stars, also, you know, really great NBA players who might've been a little bit like annoyed by Chris Paul and him wanting to, you know, tell them how to play, tell them how to be. But I think for the Thunder and hopefully for the Suns, if you've got players who are willing to learn and willing to absorb that knowledge, it can have a really big impact for your team. And I think that, you know, Devin Booker, Ayton, they're all are going to want to learn from Chris Paul. And so I think that you all will see kind of the similar Chris Paul that we saw in a different Chris Paul than we saw in Houston and with the Clippers.
I think that's interesting because, you know, the idea of the fact that there were folks around him, young players especially, who wanted the knowledge and wanted to be led, basically. And I do think that's true of Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. And I think that's actually sort of maybe something that's underestimated about Devin Booker, because you could see a player in his shoes not necessarily want that, you know, because he is so good already. You could make the case he's better than Chris Paul, which wasn't really true of anybody on the Thunder roster last year. Really wasn't true of the Clippers players so much. Maybe Blake Griffin at his very peak, but it's not something that Paul has encountered in a while. But I think that relationship, I feel like, will work because of that. And Booker being a little younger, even though he has accomplished a fair amount in his career already, and just having never tasted that success really at all, never made the playoffs, and obviously probably understands he needs a player like Chris to come in and help him get there. I think that relationship will work well off the floor. I think they're both like incredible competitors, and I think they both only respect other people who operate that same way. And I think that's something Chris will bring here. One of the other top line things I wanted to ask you about, though, that I definitely didn't get a feel for from afar or in anything kind of at a national level, is what was Paul's relationship like, as far as you could tell, with Billy Donovan? And obviously, he's no longer in Oklahoma City either, but, you know, those two had to gel for this to work, I think, too. And it seems like the Suns are in a similar sort of situation where Paul kind of engineered the move a little bit and so knows what he's getting into. How did that work when it came to manning the team as a partner to the coach when it comes to Billy Donovan last year?
Yeah, so I think they had a really good relationship, and I think that they learned a lot from each other and worked well together. And that's important, because I think that Billy Donovan, he's a great coach. He's a great player development coach. Not so great in the playoffs, but, you know, really, he really brings out the best in players. And I think that complements a lot of what Chris Paul brought to the Thunder as well. And I think they had common goals, and that is what helped them work well together. But you also have to have, you know, a coach who's willing to listen to players, willing to take their advice into account. And, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, what went on behind closed doors, but you can see them during games talking to each other about, okay, we need to tell Steven Adams this, or we need to maybe adjust this lineup like this. And they would really converse with each other, even during games, especially in close games, about what would be the best way for the Thunder to win. And I know that you all have Monty Williams, who is also a product of the Thunder and of Sam Presti. Yeah. And he is, I think, a very similar personality, just very much, you know, not arrogant, not cocky, not, you know, someone who feels like they have to call out the shots or be, you know, super tough on the players. And I think he is kind of like a player's coach, where he will take into account, you know, players' opinions. And I think that him and Monty and Chris Paul will work really well together.
I think so too. And, you know, obviously they have the relationship with each other dating back to the New Orleans days that I think played a big role in why Chris was comfortable coming here and kind of okayed the deal. As far as we understand, you know, Sam Presti worked with him to find a landing spot that worked. Obviously, there's not a ton of those with how much money he makes, but right. he had to want to come to the Suns. And I think the coaching aspect is a big reason why, in addition to Devin Booker. So those were kind of the bigger things. But I really want to dive in more in the next segment too, as well, into what did he really, you know, we like to say that veteran players, veteran guards especially, come in and kind of take over a team from a leadership perspective. But sometimes I think that can get overblown. I think in the case of Chris, it isn't overblown, but I want to get into why and how and what kind of maybe DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and some of these players can expect. Before that, though, I want to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's show, which is Built Bar. Built Bar is new and improved, but really what it has always been and will always will be is the best tasting protein bar ever. 6 new flavors for you guys. And by the way, I hope you took advantage of the Black Friday deal that they put together. The white chocolate. Ooh, it sounded incredible. I would go check the website again. Maybe those flavors are still around. Maybe they're doing some Cyber Monday. I don't know. But those sounded incredible. The 6 new ones do too. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, always just light. And that perfect little holdover or perfect little pick-me-up that you need. Great for the health-conscious person, health-conscious sports fan. Maybe you're getting out and working out more. I know I am during quarantine. Maybe you're trying to lose some weight. Look into the 2021 season here as an opportunity to set a new year's resolution and get some weight off as well. Built Bar is still offering the free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So to take advantage of that and get 20% off your first order, you're going to go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's all one word, the name of our network. Again, builtbar.com, promo code locked on for 20% off your first order. Back here with Olivia Punchal of Daily Thunder. And I want to dive in here because this is a point that I heard Sirit Sohi make on a podcast recently, that she was just kind of taken by the fact that it sort of seems like Chris has found an opportunity here to kind of extend his career in a different role than he had, because obviously he makes so much money, it's hard to fit him into an elite level team. I think he knew once he left Houston, maybe that ship was going to sail in terms of on this current contract being able to win a championship. But in Oklahoma City and now in Phoenix here, it seems like he's really kind of looking forward to the opportunity to build up some of these young players. I heard a story that he was at G League games with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and it seemed like nobody could speak highly enough of Chris on the Thunder roster, even the younger guys. So it seems like last year really flipped the perception of him a little bit in terms of how hard to deal with he can be as a teammate. Do you feel like that's true?
Yes, I definitely do. And I feel like that's true for me as well. Like I said, was definitely not a huge Chris Paul fan before he came to the Thunder. And in just a matter of one season, he's completely flipped my opinion of him. And I think a lot of Thunder fans probably feel the same way, and his teammates. So I'll use the example of Lou Dort and Darius Bazley. So those were two of our youngest players. And just like, I don't expect like that, you know, that Suns fans are, you know, watching every Thunder game, but I'll just tell you, like, the transformation from the beginning of the season to the time they were in the NBA bubble, I would attribute a lot of that to Chris Paul and the extra time that he spent with each of those players. And it wasn't just, you know, advice during the games or like, you can do this better, you can do this better. It's literally extra time spent after practice. Like, we would be there for media availability, and off on one end of the basketball court, Chris Paul is working one-on-one with Darius Bazley on his fadeaway over and over and over again, running the same play over and over and over again until, you know, Darius Bazley feels like he's got it. And I spoke to Darius Bazley one-on-one about, you know, his mentorship and his relationship with Chris Paul. And he said that he felt super blessed and lucky to have Chris Paul as a teammate, especially in his first year in the NBA, because he feels like he has been able to make a lot of progress that would have normally taken multiple seasons in just one season, just byproduct of having Chris Paul as a teammate. So I think that the Suns can really benefit from that, especially players like DeAndre Ayton, who are really young, you know, really new to the league. He can really act as a mentor and a teacher for those players who already have the raw talent, but kind of just need, you know, direction and some fine tuning and, you know, the secrets to the game or whatever. And I think that Chris Paul really brings that. And I don't think that it's overblown. I agree. We can't speak highly enough of everything that Chris Paul did for a short time in Oklahoma City. So you all are really getting a good one in Chris Paul. And I think that he had such a positive experience with the Thunder that he kind of wants to do a similar thing for the Suns. And I think he could be the key to you all, you know, making a playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, separately even from like the Suns or what they can do, I'm also, you know, as a tangent, a little bit excited to kind of catch him at this part of his career, because you could even make the sort of wider argument that, you know, what he did to put the bubble together and really taking the whole league sort of under his wing as the president of the executive committee of the Players Association is a whole other, not, you know, he's had that position for a while, but it's obviously more important right now when you throw in the pandemic situation, as well as the leadership he's shown when it comes to social justice and the league's efforts, as well as his own private efforts with the fund he put together with Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony. So all of that, I think kind of paints the picture of a guy who's transitioning a little bit to a different phase of his life and his career. And that's just, it's just fascinating to see, because he's somebody who's been around for NBA fans for so long that I think you kind of expect people to kind of be the same thing forever. And he's showing that that's not really the case. So I'm looking forward to covering him from that perspective. But did he explain at all, like, Chris himself, was he ever asked kind of point blank why he took that extra time with guys and wanted to help build them up? Because, I mean, like, Darius Bazley's a late first-round pick, you know, a guy who probably most people just know from the situation with college and how he came into the NBA and the internship and all of that. And Lou Dort's a guy who, you know, wasn't even drafted. So what did he say as far as why that was important to him, or why he, you know, liked to do that?
Right. I think there's two parts of this. I think he likes to teach. I think that's just in his personality. He likes to, you know, share the knowledge that he has acquired in his many seasons in the NBA with younger players. But more than that, I think he appreciates and respects players who want to learn, who want to put in the work to be better, who don't, you know, put a ceiling on themselves. Like take Lu Dort, for example. You know, he went undrafted. He made it onto an NBA roster. He could have just, you know, capped it at that. Like that in and of itself is a really big accomplishment for an undrafted player. But I think that Chris Paul really pushed him to take that next step and be like, you could not only be on an NBA roster, you could be a starter for the Thunder, which by the end of the season he was. And then by the time he got to the bubble, he was hitting 7 threes in a game 7 against the Rockets.
A folk hero.
So like, exactly. So, you know, it's honestly insane, Lu Dort's growth. And I think that part of that is his willingness to learn from Chris Paul and his personal motivation to want to be better. And I think Chris Paul respects that in players, players who want to take that next step, put in the work to be better and are willing to learn from him. So I think it goes hand in hand. It's Chris Paul's innate willingness to want to teach. And then it's having players around him who want to be better and want to push themselves to be more than just an NBA player.
All right. Well, I think that anyone listening to this who's a Suns fan is listening with glee right now, because I think that describes a lot of the players on this roster. So I think that's definitely good news as far as his off-court impact, but we haven't even talked about his on-court impact. So I want to do that. We'll do it. What happened with this three-guard lineup, and why was the team so much better than expected? Why was Chris so impactful? How did he stay healthy? We'll get into all of that right after this. All right. Hope you guys will stick with us all week long. We have great shows coming, great guests along the way. Subscribe wherever you're listening. Follow us at Locked On PHX Suns. I put every podcast that I make up there for you guys. So however you want to stay in touch, please do. This season, as we are talking about, not only with Chris Paul, but especially with Chris Paul, will be tons of fun. So hopefully you guys are ready to go. Let's get into Olivia here. What really, like you, I think you said a minute ago, was one of the better seasons of his career in terms of efficiency, especially. You know, he wasn't a guy anymore who was putting up, you know, big, huge scoring nights on a routine basis, you know, 20 points a game like he did the first few years of his career or anything like that. But shot almost 50% from the field, 37% from three, best incredible free throw percentage. So it seems like the shooting has been an improvement in the late part of his career, and he was kind of back to his usual self in that regard, as well as just kind of the floor management that we know him to be. So the main thing that I kind of took away, especially from the playoffs and all that, is that he was able to be a little bit almost used like he was in Houston, except for instead of one James Harden, it was sort of all of these guys put together that allowed Paul to not have to dominate the ball so much, whether that was Dennis Schroeder or Danilo Gallinari or even Shea. How big of an impact do you think it made on him to have so much offensive talent on the floor with him and not have to be that type of player? And what do you make of him staying healthy? Was it part of that as well, do you think, or maybe just luck?
Unfortunately, I do think it's a little bit of luck, because I do think that we utilized Chris Paul a lot. So he was our starting point guard. He closed games with us, our killer lineup, our death lineup that we had of like four guards. So we definitely, you know, got a lot out of him. So I wouldn't say he didn't really miss that many games. He was lucky to not be injured. And I hope that that luck carries over with him to the Suns. So I will say we did utilize him a lot, but I think that like we talked about how he's kind of in this transition period of a different role that he's taking on with teams, but I don't want that to be misconstrued as, you know, he's crossing over to that bridge of being, you know, a veteran presence and kind of like a bench coach guy, like how Nick Collison was for the Thunder or like Udonis Haslam or even how Kobe Bryant was in his final years with the Lakers. He's still really freaking good at basketball, and you can, you know,
oh yeah,
he has all of these leadership skills and talents and things that he helps players do. But on top of that, he's a guy that you can rely on to close games for you. And I think this is going to be another great thing for the Suns. So with a roster that's young, like you all have, I'm sure that you encountered this a lot last season and in previous seasons where the team has a difficult time closing close games. And that is a, you know, a trap that a lot of young teams fall into, and they can really benefit from someone like Chris Paul being the primary ball handler in those situations and just being a clutch guy that you can rely on. So I think that will really, you know, elevate the Suns as well, just having that, having Chris Paul there to help them close those close games, because he's really good in the fourth quarter, like really, really good.
Oh yeah. Make no mistake. This guy was an all-star last year. Like, he is still a high, high, high level basketball player. Right. You don't give up a first round pick like the Suns did to get a Nick Collison, right? So
you are
totally right, and he'll make a huge impact. And it's perfect that you mentioned the clutch as well, because that's when the first little inklings of this went on when the ESPN report came out from, I think it was Brian Windhorst, that this trade was fairly kind of far down the road, out of nowhere, really. Mm-hmm. I went and looked, and I was like, what is really Chris Paul specifically going to do? Because this was a team that benefited a lot from having Ricky Rubio around last year. And I actually thought if Oklahoma City had kept him, he could have made a similar impact there. A lot of what we're talking about is, a little bit of like a lower level, less pedigree, but Rubio had a lot of that impact, and I think he will in Minnesota. So I was like, okay, well, what? Obviously, we know Chris Paul is better. And I think what I landed on as one of the biggest parts was not only the shooting. Rubio, not much of a shooter. Paul, obviously, a great shooter. All the off-court stuff I figured would be, you know, multiplied by several times with Paul. But the clutch shooting, especially to me, or the clutch just offense, was what stood out. Because, I mean, you think like Booker is fairly good at that in his own right, you know, made that buzzer beater against the Clippers that became like instantly a viral meme of him laying on the floor and all that. But he's never played with another player who can do that. So you think all these clutch moments that Suns fans have seen Devin Booker perform during his career, and that's with schmucks on the rest of the roster, to be quite frank, guys who mostly are not even in the league anymore. And now he's going to have somebody who probably deserves the ball more than him in the clutch, which is a kind of a crazy thing to say and a crazy thing for a team to have. So I think it's going to make a really big impact. The other thing I wanted to ask you about too was just what kind of, not that the Suns are transitioning from Russell Westbrook to Chris Paul, but what kind of stylistically did Paul do to the team? Like, what kinds of adjustments did Donovan make to the offense to suit a Chris Paul team versus what they had had in the past? And what can Suns fans expect in terms of how this team might play?
Right. So you're going to force me to say bad things about Russell Westbrook, which I hate doing. But if we're being really honest with ourselves, as much as we love Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, and we try always never to speak ill of everything he did for us, but he was not the best decision maker in close games or when it came down to the fourth quarter. And that is the complete opposite of Chris Paul. He's very level-headed. He's very good at taking his shots. He knows where his spots are. He's very good at facilitating his teammates. So as you mentioned, in like a clutch fourth quarter, Chris Paul is probably going to be your primary ball handler, but that can be really good for Devin Booker to play a little bit off ball and to shoot those crazy, ridiculous threes and just rain those like he does. And so I think what we switched from having Russell Westbrook to Chris Paul is basically more of a movement offense. There was definitely more ball movement, more sharing, more facilitating teammates than we had when it was just Russell Westbrook. And I think it was, you know, it was more of a group effort where you're getting contributions from multiple players, whether it be Dennis Schroeder, whether it be Gallinari, whether it be Shea, whether it be Dort, whether it be Chris Paul. Any of those players can be impactful in those final minutes. Whereas when it was Russell Westbrook, and this is partly, you know, players that he had around him as well, it was more just like separate entities. Like even when it was Russell Westbrook and Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, it was just like three separate entities that could score rather than three things working together in like a dynamic unit. So I think that's really what Chris Paul brings, is more of a movement offense rather than all-star ISO ball.
Yeah, I think that's Again, something that I think you can understand as a Suns fan listening, why it suits what the Suns want to do so well, because I think that was a lot of what Monty Williams wanted to bring. You mentioned that he was obviously part of that staff. I think personally, just from what we know about Billy Donovan and what he did at Florida, that's the type of offense he probably wanted to be running all along.
Yeah.
And so having Paul kind of allowed him to do that, I imagine we see something similar in Chicago, which could help some of the young players. But Monty also came from he's been a coach forever, but came in between his head coaching stops was in Philly, where that's a lot of how they want to run their offenses, you know, get it into the post, get it into the elbow, use the guards kind of off the ball, use the ball movement and all that. So I think having Paul, especially as he's kind of transitioned, like we talked about, to, yes, he has the ball a whole lot, but is just becoming a knockdown spot up 3-point shooter. And I think is increasingly comfortable playing sort of a hybrid role in the same way that, you know, he kind of has had to with Houston and like he did last year. So I think that's going to be really exciting. And the possibility of both of those players being able to handle the ball, Paul and Booker, in crunch time is going to be, I mean, backcourt wise, one of the more fun in the NBA, I think. So my closing question to you is, I was surprised when I went and looked at the numbers, even back, dating back to Houston, although I think that was more of a Harden factor, but I just kind of, because of how much mastery Paul has over like the flow of a game, I kind of expected to see that he would have played faster sometimes, but his teams have really been in the middle of the pack, even last year with such a young team and such, you know, quick and dynamic players like Shea and Schroeder next to him and everything. They played not terribly fast. Transition was like middle of the pack in terms of frequency, as far as I saw from the numbers and everything. So do you think that was a product of Paul? Do you think that was a product of the rest of the personnel on the team? Do you think he can play fast if he wants to? What did you see from them as far as that goes, half court versus transition and that mix?
I do think that his play style favors a slower type of game, a more methodical and precise style of game, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. I know that the tendency when you have young players is to be very explosive and fast and, you know, 3-second offense kind of vibe. But I do think that there's something good to be said of a slower offense that is methodical, where players are in their spots and getting their shots from those spots, as opposed to, you know, not being set up and kind of more, more like you said, transition. So I do think his game favors a slower type of play, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And I do think that gives, you know, other players more opportunities to, you know, participate in the offense.
Yeah, and I think it'll just be different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Suns, like Ricky Rubio sort of has to play that way because he can't shoot. So once he gets into the half court, it's just, I mean, he can shoot, but more off the ball. Right. So, you know, once he gets going, that favors him. And that's, you know, it's going to give him space to attack the basket without the cramped of the half court. It's going to give him space to find teammates. And he's such an excellent passer. Like, I think the team sort of, you have to sort of adjust to what your point guard is. So I don't think there's any reason to think the Suns can't play that way. It's just that they haven't in the past. But it's just something I was curious about, because I think because he's older, like, I would be probably leaning toward them slowing things down a little bit too, because you don't want to, yes, you might want to limit his minutes, maybe give him some resting games as well, but even within a game that he is playing, you probably don't want to have like a top five pace type of offense, because it's probably just not worth it. He's so good in the half court that there's no reason to make him run if the offense works better slower. So awesome. Well, thank you, Olivia, for coming on. You can follow her at Olivia Ponchal on Twitter. Follow her work at Daily Thunder. And hopefully we have a like halfway Suns fan in the making here. After it seems like you really liked covering Paul. So maybe we'll have one more person rooting for the Suns from afar.
Oh, definitely. Like, we'll definitely, I think a lot of Thunder fans will be rooting for the Suns. I mean, the Thunder, let's be real, we're going to lose a lot of games. We're going
to
be pretty
You're going to have to find another team to watch, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have to find someone else, and I think we can all rally behind the Suns and Chris Paul. I really like Devin Booker. I think he's really talented. I know that I was watching all of their games in the bubble because they were just phenomenal and so much fun to watch. So, yeah, I think I will become a halftime Suns fan.
Beautiful. We love to hear that. Yeah, it's, you know, you can't pick the whatever mess is about to unfold in Houston. That's probably not who you want to be rooting for, even though Russ is there. And so, yeah, we'll take you. We'll take you for sure. Well, thank you for coming on. And listeners, we will be back all week, like I said, previewing the season. Hopefully we get to start talking to the Suns player. We haven't heard from Chris Paul yet, so the minute we do, I'll throw audio into an episode for you guys and let you all take it in as well. But I'm excited. I hope you are. And thanks for listening.